Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of October 31st. Happy Halloween!
Okay, happy Halloween.
I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy? Stop making weird faces. You're scaring the children.
I'm stifling a cough, actually, but I'm back home. I'm home. I'm free.
Now, Jim was at the Japan Series for us, but he was playing hurt a little bit, so we weren't able to get any interviews, and Alex Ramirez wasn't available this week.
Yeah, he wanted to be, but we said, no, we gotta keep our self-respect. We can't be going to the well
Speak
all
for
the
yourself,
time.
Man. Self-respect.
Yeah, we can't go to the well too often unless your name's Koichi
Ogata. Hey, man,
Ogata.
If it dries up, just go to the next well. Drink all you want. There's always another one. All right, so on this week's show, we're just going to talk about the Japan Series, and we've got a couple notes for you, so let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
Yeah, all right, so Nippon Ham is in hog heaven.
You say that. Did you say that when they won the championship?
No,
too?
I wrote that as the headline today, so I figured I could use it, you know, since I wrote it. That was my headline.
Fair enough. Yeah, I did that. I tweeted something about last night's game, and then I reused it in a. It was just an expression, and I used it in a story.
It's all fine.
Today.
As long as you're the author, I think it's fine. So. Nippon Ham wins its third Japan Series title on Saturday, and it was the first one for the franchise in 10 years. They beat the Hiroshima Carp 10-4 in Game 6 at Mazda Stadium. And, geez, what can you say about this thing? I mean, the bullpen was clutch. They got clutch hits. They got they won four consecutive games. I think I tweeted this out on Saturday. I don't think I'm ever going to pick a CL team to beat a PL team in the series until I see proof that those teams can compete, because the Fighters did all this without their closer. You consider Shohei Ohtani didn't play in the final game, and he didn't play in one of the games, which they lost, but it didn't matter because they ended up winning the series. But... Yodai Khan, or Yes We Can, or whatever you want to call him, he did not play that much in the series. He was not a big contributor, although he was a big part of their entire season. They had two rookie starters who pitched in the series. They didn't lose any of those games or either of those two games. Then Sho Nakata and the MVP didn't really hit great in the games, and they still won. The MVP, Brandon Laird. I'm sorry, I should have said his name. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Brandon Laird of the Fighters. Yeah, he hit .273. He had three homers and 760 RBIs, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why he was the MVP, but we'll get all to that. We'll get to all that stuff as we go through.
Yeah, well, but it was, what a great series it was. And although, I don't want to spill the beans.
No, let's keep our beans all on the same, whatever they're in.
The plate. Keep them on the plate.
On the plate. So...
No,
so you were there. I want to go through each game, so let's quickly go through the early games and then concentrate on some of the later games. So game two was October 23rd, and we taped earlier that morning, and then the Carp came out and won 5-1 and took a 2-0 lead in the series. Yusuke Nomura was outstanding on the mound for them as a starter. He limited base runners. He allowed one unearned run over 6 innings. He was really good. He was the reason they won the game, in my opinion. Of course, they got some runs.
Yep.
That always helps. Brad Eldred hit his second home run in as many games in the series. Solo shot in the sixth. And, I mean, it was fairly uneventful, and the Carp looked really like they were in control of this thing and that, you know, nothing could stop them.
Exactly. I mean, it was the second 5-1 win. The Carp starters right now are looking really, really good.
And the one thing that bothered me about the game was the fact that Shohei Ohtani wasn't in the lineup. We knew he wasn't going to pitch.
Right.
And
he did pinch hit.
Yeah, he wasn't in the starting lineup. He eventually pinch hit, but I didn't get that move. I'm thinking, you know, hey, this is what you were saving him for. Why you didn't pitch him for a big part of a big chunk of the season was because you could hit him, and then here's a chance to put him in as a hitter, and you don't do it. I didn't get it.
Well, I think that was the point of he hasn't played right field in 2.5 years. Why try
do
it
what
now?
You did when he was a rookie, and you had him taking infield. Remember how he had to tuck his right arm behind his back while he was fielding ground balls. You can stick him out there in left field and have him tuck
No.
that pitching arm behind his back.
Okay. Okay, do you want him trying to make the Hiromi Oka style catch, slamming
Well,
into
that
the
didn't come
wall
till
or going
later.
over the
That
railing? No, I'm still saying, do you want him
do
doing
I
that?
want him doing that? Well, let's given the fact that he's like 9 inches taller than Oka, he probably doesn't have to jump to make that catch, so I think he's fine.
Okay, let's say the ball has hit a foot
Well, you
higher.
didn't say that. You can't change the
Okay,
parameters after you don't get the response you don't want, that you want.
I'm saying it kind of makes sense because he hasn't been practicing in the outfield. Just stick with kind of what works. I understand that part. You could I don't think that's a
I didn't
big
think it was a
issue.
big issue. I just was, of course, I wanted to see him out there. Yeah.
Sure, as we all did, but on the other hand, he's also it's kind of nice, it is nice to give him a little break after, he's got all that inflammation built up in his right arm and his legs and to give him a
Right, yeah.
break.
I understood it. I understood it. I
'Cause
just, yeah.
he responded to the break pretty well in
Yeah,
game
so
three.
game three on Tuesday. Go ahead and win 4-3 in 10 innings. I thought this game sparked a lot of debate, probably from people who were in the States and people who were over here, Fighters fans alike, everybody. But the Fighters win 4-3 in 10 innings, and I thought the game was mismanaged pretty much on both sides of the fence. I was sitting there thinking this will either go down to the grizzled veteran pitcher leaving the mound with a smile on his face. Or, and this was early on, or the young stud,
Kohei Arimura.
well, young stud, yeah, the young pitcher, coming away with saying, you get out of here, grandpa, you're done. And it wasn't, it was kind of sad to see Hiroki Kuroda have to come out of the game the way he did.
Yeah.
And you were there, you got the
Sure.
reports and everything. What did you actually get to chat with him after the game?
Yeah, well, I
Well, I
didn't
mean, in
chat
the
with him. I was
scrum.
there when he was talking. Sure. And basically said, "Yeah, it was bothering me a little bit." And he went to the he basically had cramping in one calf. And so he went back to the dugout to get it taped. Then when he came out to throw again, he was having tightness in both his hamstrings. Okay, there's two outs, there's nobody on. He's just retired Shohei Ohtani on a fly ball. And he said, "Look, I wanted to stay in the game, but this game is so important that if I do stay in the game, there's a good chance that I could let runners on base, with our 2-1 lead and just mess things up for the next pitcher. So I thought the best course of action was to just call it a night.
Yeah, I thought it was, I mean, I tweeted right away, would have it was actually a prideful move because he went out winning. I think he was up 1-0. He was in line to
Sure.
get the victory, but if, in that situation, it's easy to say, no, I'm going to get that last out and I'm going to finish this inning and I'm going to be there for my team and blah, blah, blah. But if he makes a wrong pitch in a one-run game, a bad pitch, a mistake, and gives up a game-tying home run, then he's walking away with nothing at all, right? And God forbid he, for his sake, if he had put a runner on, maybe with a walk because he didn't have good control and then giving up the home run, now they're losing. So I thought it was, I mean, it's a hard thing to do, but you have to say, you know what? It takes a lot to say, look, I can't, I shouldn't do this because I'm gonna, it's a detriment to the team for me to be out here.
I think for Kuroda, that's always the issue is, what's the best thing to do. Now, he doesn't want to be out there to get the win for himself. Now, he wants to be able to do it if he thinks he can do it. And if the team said, "We don't have a good option, we need you to do it," he'd be happy to do it.
Okay, but I mean, of course, I think he'd
But
be
if the
happy to
kid,
try it. Yeah,
right.
certainly.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be happy to give it his best shot. But that wasn't the case. And it was a case of, I don't need to be the hero right here. We have to do what's best for the team. So I don't I knowing Kuroda, I don't think that was a hard decision for him. I mean, it was hard because this is potentially the last game of his career. But I think he was just focused on the, he wasn't focused on that. He was focused on the game. I mean, he's this is a guy who's like so into every pitch. He might not have known what day it was or, you know, what his children's names were. You know, he's just up there. He's everything is into each pitch. It's almost like, I mean, when he pitches, I'm going to say this. It's almost when he pitches, it's almost like he doesn't believe he's good enough to do it. So he has to put everything into it.
Okay.
And note that that's how he looks on the mound. So
I see where you're going.
I just can't. I can't really imagine him saying, "No, no, no. I'm good enough. I'm too big for this. I'm sticking around. This is my game."
So I was looking at some of the moves, and I don't want to go through every single one of them, but I couldn't figure out what these managers were thinking. I was trying to think, and you know, this is something I love doing. I sit around thinking, okay, who's coming up and.
Yes, I've advised as your mental health counselor. I've advised against it on numerous times.
And what
times.
Happens to all your advice? It gets thrown out the window.
Well,
because I keep doing it
anyway. I gave you a bag to throw it out with. So I kind of expected.
So we're going through. So anyway, what ends up happening is in the eighth inning, the Fighters mount a little bit of a rally. And I thought, okay, well, yes, I understand Jay Jackson has been really good for you all season. And obviously I see the way he's pitching these guys. And this was the situation with him all season. And you actually, I need to point out that you made a good comment. You said that, I think it was a show last week, that you said, look, all these Pacific League teams see pitchers and relievers like Jay Jackson all the time. They're very used to saying that. I'm glad you pointed that out. I hope the listeners remember you saying that, because it hit me watching him pitch, and he was being so careful with everything, trying to locate these sliders here and then sneak fastballs in. And he just never looked really good on the mound. He got outs, but he didn't get the strikeouts that we're used to seeing him get against Central League batters. And so I would have matched up. And this is another thing. I guess we have to talk about it now. But the Carp obviously needed a left-handed arm in the bullpen that they have confidence in.
You noticed that too. Well, they didn't have a left-handed arm in the bullpen at all. Yeah. They had no lefties on their roster.
And they have to have some one guy in the system where they can say, look, we want you to get this left-hander out. And even if they pinch hit for the left-hander, you've got to be able to at least keep the ball in the park against the right-handed guy they bring up there. And they just obviously didn't have the confidence to do any of that stuff. So I just thought, well, don't do this and don't repeat the same pitching patterns. And it just looked like Jackson was trying to locate sliders and he couldn't. And he ends up throwing a pitch to Sho Nakata that I thought was not the worst pitch in the world. Obviously Nakata was off balance. He hit it off the end of the bat, but here's the fatal error that Koichi, the first of many that he made, was that he left. And I love the guy. I've talked about him, how much I actually like this guy, Ryuhei Matsuyama, but you can't have him in the outfield in the eighth inning of a one run game when you're trying to protect the lead, because anybody else they would have had out there would have caught that ball, but not Matsuyama. He's the only outfielder on the roster. Maybe I think Brad Eldridge would have had that because he's tall enough to reach in and grab it when he gets close.
He might have.
I think he could have caught it.
Matsuyama has his days, but Jay Jackson said that was a routine pop fly to left, which is I think inaccurate, but. He was frustrated.
I think it probably was if it weren't Sho Nakata at the plate, because I think your first instinct
you have to
is to go
you
back
to
on
play
that
back
ball anyway,
bit.
Or to be playing back on it anyway. So I don't, in that respect, I don't think it was. But in any other situation, most other batters who are right-handed batters with that team and any other fielder, that would have been an out.
Right. Well, so they're trying to protect. Here's the point is they're trying to protect a one run lead, and they have their worst outfielder playing in left field because he's coming up in the ninth
And they
inning.
wanted his
But
bat. Yeah, I knew it, but I didn't think.
you know it, because if he had batted in this, you know, if he had batted in the eighth, in the top of the eighth, he would have been gone. But they were waiting, and it didn't occur to him. Let's get Noma out there. I mean, you put Noma. The reason you put, but you put somebody out there. You don't. I of course, Akamatsu is their best choice, but you keep him in case you need a
Right.
pinch runner. But anyway, so that's a thing. I don't think, you know, I don't think anybody's going to catch that ball, but I think most of the Karp fielders had a good chance of catching it. Let's say if there's another guy out there, it's an 80% chance of catching, and a 20% chance it's a single. With Matsuyama, it should have been a single. He should have just, okay, I'm not going to get it. So the ball, but he did what he did in the Climax series. He went for broke. He tried to be the defensive hero, and he's not really the defensive hero type. He missed, the ball got past him, 2-run double.
Yeah.
That wasn't,
No,
well,
that's true. It
that
was not the
lost
ball
him.
game because they
Right.
came back and
Yeah,
they
that's right.
scored a run. They sent it into
That's
extra
right.
innings, and then Daichi Ohsura comes on to pitch in the ninth and pitches a really strong inning, and he gets sent back out for the 10th. And I'm thinking, all right, well, maybe this is a situation where if he gives up a couple base runners, they bring somebody else in and whatever. And so we see the couple base runners.
And you have to ask yourself, where is Shota
Well,
Nakazaki?
I'm just thinking I've seen a guy who was too injured to be pitching at the beginning of the season, didn't really pitch a lot in the season at all, isn't really familiar with this role, and it's a tie score. I'm gonna go for a guy who's more experienced in these late inning games. So yeah.
Okay.
Where is he? And we never see him. Hagen's had already thrown a third of an inning early on.
Right. And another
Yeah,
thing.
another thing.
And here and comes, and I'm going to go back to this. Obviously, a pattern has already developed. Game one, we've got, you know, we've got the starter goes 6 2/3. We've got Imamura comes in the seventh. We've got Jackson coming in the eighth. And then in the ninth, when you've got, and Jackson has a 4-run lead to work with. Why is he out there with a 4-run lead? Why is Nakazaki out there with a 4-run lead? Jackson's going to come on the eighth, regardless of the score of the game, when you don't need
Well,
them to
yeah, yes
pitch.
and no.
Okay.
I mean, maybe if you have a guy who you can trust, but I mean, of course, who do you have confidence in that if they don't give up a couple base runners, you're not going to go out there and yank them anyway. So it's only a 4-run lead. I'm fine with that. I don't mind that so much because they had a day off in between. They were going to travel. Those guys could all get rest. So I'm fine with the winning those first two games at home because you needed to do that anyway. I have no problem with that. But
Well, I don't have it either, but here's the thing. And then same thing, game two. 4-run lead, seventh inning, Imamura. Eighth inning, Jackson. Ninth inning, Nakazaki. Now that's fine. You need to win those games. But if you're going to use your best pitchers, the guys you trust the most, in every game when you have a big lead, what are you going to do in every game that you have a chance to win? Who else are you going to trust more or trust as much? The answer is nobody. So this is a problem. And this is a problem not with the relievers. This is a problem with the team not being set up. I don't want to say prepared, but I think the planning was insufficient for
Are you talking
this.
about the roster construction or the playoff roster construction?
The playoff roster construction, although that is, you know, everybody has limitations. I mean, the Fighters went into this without their closer, and it cost them at one point. But, you know, and it shaped the way they did things. But the point is that basically the Karp plan, I think, was to win in four games, and that'll do it, because they didn't have they didn't seem to have it planned to have to use their bullpen for more than four games because they were just going to use them all every
Right.
time.
Well, I don't want to harp on this game in particular because there's other ones we can
No.
harp on, but I agree. I mean, I didn't see the urgency. I didn't see, I mean, leaving Osetta out there to die didn't seem like the smartest thing to me. And the pitch that he made to Ohtani, I think, they wanted to get a ball in on him off the plate. I tweeted about it. Everybody was talking about it on the broadcasts. They're saying Ohtani has some trouble with the inside pitches and blah blah blah.
That's the long, that's the old story.
Whatever it is, they have
Ohtani
been
has.
busting him in the whole time. So he was
Right.
ready for it. I tweeted he's going to gear up for it because that's all they're throwing.
Right. That's the, I think that's an
And
accurate point. But does he have trouble with in-time pitches? Yeah,
especially when you don't know
sometimes.
it's coming, but when you know it's coming, you can get ready for it. And he got ready for it. He didn't hit the ball hard. He hit a perfect shot between first and second,
Yeah, he hit it hard
and
enough to
hard
get
enough
it
to get
through.
it through, and game over. And I thought, well, why? Why? What are we seeing here? But and I thought that that game three, told me that Ogata was managing. We got we're our foots on their throats, but we don't have to squish him now. We can squish him later. And I just didn't like that approach and that attitude.
I didn't get that feeling. I got the feeling of, well, our plan didn't work. This was our good plan, and they had a bad plan. I think that was a mistake. I don't think it was a, okay, we messed that up. I don't think it was a matter of we were taking our foot off the gas. I think it was more of a case of, they messed
Okay.
up. They made a miscalculation. I think there were lots of
Yeah.
miscalculations here. The other one that's kind of interesting in this game was the leadoff at bat by Takuya Nakashima in the eighth inning against Jay Jackson. I mean, this was a tremendous at bat, and this is where Jay Jackson he lost his concentration a bit here, and I think it was part of the issue. He got squeezed. He got a strike that the umpire kind of whiffed on.
Yeah, the umpire, I mean, we had floating strike zones. We had guys sleeping on
Yeah,
pitches.
and it got to him, which, as I've said before, we saw it in other games, and it got to him at that instant. It got in his head a little bit, I think, and he's used to getting over it, and he's used to getting in over it. But Nakashima is such a frustrating hitter when he's up there focusing on reaching base as opposed to getting down a sacrifice bunt.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it.
Well, you could see it. I think somebody said in the first or second game that he had fouled off more pitches this season than like any other two players in
Yeah, I
MPB.
heard the announcers also saying, I don't remember because I had listened to so much radio and TV, but I think it was Masahiro Yamamoto, the Dragons, who was saying, "Look, dude, just." Basically, he says, when you just hit the ball on the field, stop fouling them off.
Yeah.
I don't care if you get a hit
Yeah.
or what. Just stop fouling them off.
That's right, because there are those guys, and he's one of them. And he's just smacking the balls. He's just driving the pitcher nuts, and he accomplished his job. And another, and but and then the interesting thing is here we've got the they have okay. So Nakashima draws a leadoff walk, a long bat leadoff walk. He's bunted to second, as Mr. Kuriyama loves to do. Now with one out, there's a runner on second, and first base is open, and Shohei Ohtani's up. And Ogata has the brilliant idea. Hey, let's put this guy on first base. When we have a one-run lead, let's give them two runners.
Yeah.
And then the ball falls in, and it's a two-run double. Okay, and then we get to the final at bat, and Ogata said, "I blew this game," he says afterwards. And you know what he said when he said he blew the game? I blew it by not ha by telling them to go after Ohtani. We should have pitched around him again. And I'm saying, well, that worked out the first time. Don't you learn
Yeah,
anything?
you blew the game before then, buddy, with Matsuyama out in the field,
Yeah.
but
Yeah. So he blew it in several ways, but I as much as I like Koichi Ogata, I was thinking, wow, this is This is
Well, I'll pick
interesting.
on him when we get through all the games. So, yeah, let's go on to
Okay.
game four.
Go
So on
ahead.
Wednesday, the Fighters win 3-1. And then this was the rookie pitcher game. Akitake Okada of the Carp, Hinotoshi Takanashi of the Fighters, and they go at it. And early on, it was like watching two of the Walanda brothers walk parallel tightropes on a windy day. I mean,
Nice,
yeah,
nice.
they
I
were
like
really good. There
that.
were walks all over the place, especially by Okada, but I think it was a walk by Takanashi and a two-out error by Kensuke Kondo that resulted in the game's first run, and that was in the fourth inning. But they were pitching really well.
They
I
were
thought one of the Fighters rookies would pitch well, and one of them wouldn't, and that turned out to be true. But we'll get to that in game five. Okada is he's looking like the guy they wanted him to be from the start of the season. He's pitching really well, and then he gets into the sixth inning, and I just tweeted this. I'm like, well, how long is Ogata gonna stick with this young kid? How much does he think he could squeeze out of him? For me, I guess you gotta let him pitch the sixth, but for me, I'm starting to think 5 innings from a rookie is good. Let's go to the pen and mix and match when we can get there. And first pitch to Sho Nakata, and the guy pulverizes his slider and sends it in the left field, and it was
Yeah.
1-1. There goes their
Yeah,
lead.
I was watching the at bats. They showed all the, when the hitters come up and you see all their at bats, and I was watching some of the pitches to Nakata, and I'm thinking, "Wow, good slider, good slider, good slider." And he's seeing all these first pitch good sliders, and he said, "I'm going to go up. I'm going to be really locked in on looking for a slider," and boy, did he miss. I mean,
Yeah.
oh God, that thing just it just It was a cookie, and Nakata said, "Thank you, I love
Yeah, you made
cookies."
it crumble.
And having said that, Nakata was pretty awful in this series. He was the Nakata we all know and love. He went up there watching fat pitches, missing fat pitches, walking despite swinging at three pitches out of the zone, not looking like he had any plan. Almost like swing the bat, and I'm going to swing hard, and I think it's going to hit the ball.
Yeah.
And anyway, so he got one. He got one, and the
Yeah.
game's tied.
And then I started seeing more weirdness from the Carp. Ogata asked Suzuki say Suzuki to bunt. And not only that, when he swung away on the first pitch, he called him the third base coach calls him over and say, "Hey dude, hey, we're bunting here." So Suzuki goes back in the batter's box, and of course he can't bunt. The dude had 29 home runs and I don't know, a bunch of RBIs this year. He's not a bunter. And they didn't I think they said he had three sacrifices of that variety all season long. So why are we asking him to do this in the playoffs in the pressure situation? Because we're Ogata.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I was thinking this was, I was having flashbacks. These were not drug induced, these were World Baseball Classic induced. And I remembered Sadaharu Oh basically asking every batter in his lineup to get down sacrifice bunts in the crucial games against South Korea. And it turned out that Hitoshi Tamura got down the only intentional sacrifice bunt. He had tried to bunt for a few times. He had bunted for a ba tried to bunt for a base hits a few
Right.
times and got sacrifices. But he said it the only time he ever tried to get a sacrifice, and he'd already failed like once or twice in the series, he hit it off the plate and it bounced so high that he got a sacrifice. And that was the only intentional sacrifice bunt of his career. But that's what O was doing. And I asked him about it. He's going like, "Well, one has to do this in these big games." And I hear Ogata saying that. Actually, I couldn't hear Ogata, being sort of self-important like that. Sorry.
Yeah, we
Sorry,
didn't hear it,
boss.
but
I
yeah.
love you.
So I'm just thinking, why, Ogata, why are you doing this? You put a young player he actually was feeling good about himself. I think he was getting some good swings. He didn't get results, but he was getting good swings the whole series. And he just put him in an uncomfortable situation, and I just didn't like it. And then the Carp stopped hitting. They just stopped hitting. It looked like they were hunting a lot of fastballs because they let some off-speed pitches just zip by. It looked like they were a U.S. team that had come over from the States that was expecting fastballs and fastball counts. and just taking pitches. And then when they stopped looking for fastballs, that's when they got them. I mean, they just look confused.
And the second stage of this game is the Fighters' bullpen.
Well, I mean, yeah, all of
Because,
it, the whole series was the Fighters' bullpen.
No, not so much, because the, you know, one of the pivotal points of game three was blowing the ninth inning lead. Tani Mote, they've got their first save situation of the series without Chris Martin. Tanimoto goes out there. Keisuke Tanimoto gives up the tying run. Holy smokes. Here we go. So the next night, it's not Tanimoto. Well, Tanimoto comes in and he slant. You know, they get two big innings from Anthony Bass. They get another solid inning from Tanimoto. You know, he redeems himself. And the next, you know, Mianishi's the next guy. And he gets it done. So now the bullpen has done it for two straight nights. You know, despite blowing a save. And I'm beginning to like this. And here's the thing, and we did talk about this in our preview, was, or we talked about this last week, is, and I'm gonna toot my horn. I guess I should have tooted my horn about the Tuesday game. Remember what I said about extra inning games?
No.
Oh, the Fighters would win the extra
I
inning
do remember
games.
that, yeah. Now that you say
Yeah.
it,
Basically, because they had all these bullpen options they weren't afraid to
What I
use.
remember you saying was the deeper the games go, the more of a chance that the fighters
Yep.
have to win. Yes, I do remember
Yep.
that.
Okay, that's essentially what I was thinking, yes. And that the extra inning games were going to probably belong to them.
So yeah, so we end up in a situation where Brandon Laird comes on again and again with Jay Jackson is pitching and
Yep.
an out and then a walk and then a fly ball out and then Laird hits a ball that he cranks one out. The Fighters break the tie. They have a 3-1 lead, and then the Carp go to the ninth inning, and Hiromi Oka makes the catch of the series. I think it was. It turned out to be, and of course,
Sure.
it didn't seem like anything but a fly ball that he might not get. And then he comes up with the catch, and then the Carp eventually load the bases. So if he hadn't made that
Sure.
catch, they would have scored
Right.
at least one run, maybe two, and had
Right.
a long inning there. And what happens is they don't score any.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of it, and it was a big and it was a big catch for Oka for two reasons. One reason it was a really good
Yeah, because
catch.
I didn't think off the bat, I
Two,
was sure that was going to go off the wall.
the other reason is that the Carp scored their run in the fourth inning because of Oka.
Yes.
That they had okay, Takanashi walked the first two batters in the fourth inning, and then there's an out to center where Oka was started the game, and the next ball is a hit to a high fly ball, a towering fly ball to shallow center field. Shortstop, second baseman, and the center fielder converge on the ball. And then when the infielders see Oka coming in, they hold their ground. Oka looks at the infielders like, "Oh, I thought you guys were going to take it." And he's standing there looking at the ball drop, and then from out of nowhere comes Kensuke Kondo, the right fielder, who's watching this farce develop and says, "Okay, if nobody's going to take it, I'd better run in and try to save it." Well, he can't. He fails to make the catch, and he gets charged with an error for being the only one trying to
You
catch
know,
the ball. That's
I was
baseball.
looking at that play and I thought, of course, off the bat, I was sure it was an out, but I thought the way those guys were positioned, and you're right, the infielders come storming out there and they pretty much put a fake on Oka, and I could understand why he stopped. And I think if you throw that ball up there 100 times, I think it lands, three or four times.
I
I
don't
don't think it was an
know.
automatic. I mean, just because of where they were positioned and where everybody was coming from, and the fact that it was Brad Eldred. I mean, the outfielder is going to be
Yes,
playing deep
correct.
anyway. So I think it falls more times than you think. But of course, I thought the same thing. That wasn't Kondo's fault. That was the infielder's fault and the center fielder's fault. I
Yeah.
thought the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So Oka after the game said, I messed that up. And so I was really happy to have made that catch in right field. I wasn't going to give up on anything. You know, he wasn't going to give up on the wall.
Right, so they get out of it. They close out the game again. The bullpen, Anthony Bass comes in. He pitches
Yep.
well. I tooted his horn about being the utility reliever, and then all of a sudden, I emailed this to you. I didn't get any response from it, but I heard it on TV, And then
Oh
I
yeah, I
saw
saw
it in the
that.
newspaper, and I'm like, wait a second. And
Utility
it said
pitcher.
utility pitcher. And I said, wait a second, somebody's listening to JBW because they stole that from me. And all you guys are my witnesses because you heard me say that earlier this year when we had Anthony on the show. So I want royalties, baby.
Well, okay. Yeah, but I mean that's fair enough. I mean, you can put in your claim, but knowing that you said it before it appeared in print doesn't mean you said it first.
Whatever, you don't know that either, but I don't have proof.
I don't.
I have to
I
have
don't.
proof.
What I'm saying is we don't
We
know.
don't know.
So you can't demonstrate that you are the originator.
Great. All right.
Sorry, I'm just being
You're
truthful about it. You know,
Oh,
that's
it's
like
getting near Christmas. You're just being grinchy.
that's like what did I heard one the other day where somebody said, they invented this guy invented this in baseball, and I'm going like, and it reminds me of when players would say that Casey Stengel invented platooning. Okay, he invented platooning when he was with the New York Yankees, and then that was a big media story. The only problem with that story is Casey McGraw, when he was a young player, was a platoon outfield with the New York Giants.
Yeah. All right. So let's.
So, I mean, people believe what they hear on the
All
TV,
right.
you know, or on the JBW
Okay. Well,
podcast.
let's move on to game five. And this one turned into an instant classic.
Okay, the instant classic.
All right. This is Thursday. The Fighters end up winning 5-1 on a walk-off grand slam by
Wow.
Haruki Nishikawa. And he became
What a
just the
great
second
game.
player in MPB history to hit a walk-off grand slam. The other guy was
Tori
Tohru
Sugiura.
Sugiura in
Odori,
1992.
Odori. Oh, sorry. 1992, game one, 10th. No, hold on. I think that was the 12th inning. It was an extra innings. Okay. Game one of the 1992 Japan Series. Swallows against Lions at Jingu Stadium. Extra inning grand slam.
Yeah, okay. So this was the game that made me think, okay,
We're getting a level of.
the level of concentration and competition that it takes on this stage is incredible. I mean, you can't have things going wrong. You can't have miscommunications. You can't have people not understanding the plan and the approach and everything. So from coaching decisions to player decisions, I thought Nippon Ham out everythinged Hiroshima on this night, basically. And it just showed up. It manifested itself late. And I thought,
It manifested
well,
itself
I
early.
mean, it manifested itself late in the form of the decision of the game. But here we
Right,
go with
but
the I thought Kosuke Tanaka of the Carp, I think he needed to score on a double that was hit high off the wall by Shimozu, and I thought we thought it was a home run off the bat, right? And it ends up hitting high off
right.
the wall, but nobody mentioned this. I thought he should have scored because nobody's going to catch that ball. He should have been storming
Right.
around the bases anyway, and he could have
Yeah.
scored on that play, and he didn't because they thought it was a home run.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's only I'm gonna fault him less with
Yeah,
that
I mean that's a small
because
thing.
he's because well, and the reason being that he's running from first to second
Yes, but nobody's catching
and the
that
play is
ball.
behind him. Yes, but he's also looking at the ball behind him and trying to move at the same
No,
time.
the
But the
nobody the,
third
off the bat,
Yeah,
nobody.
but
I'm just saying.
will
I'm just
you
saying.
listen to
Okay,
me and stop interrupting? You're not me.
I'm not. Yeah,
Don't be
you're.
me. Don't channel
You're not
me.
me. Yes. Is that what I got last
This
week?
is my,
Okay, go ahead.
it's tricky for him running from first to second, second to third. But the third base coach has got to be giving him a single. The third base coach is the guy who's got to be there saying, "You go, you go, you go." And he was giving him, and he decided to send him like halfway between second and third. And then he said, when as soon as, he gave him the signal, now go, and then wait, stop. So I wasn't very happy with that. I agree he should have scored, but I'm gonna lay the blame 50-50 on him for
Okay, but
that one.
I'm just thinking, you're running the bases, you see a ball go off the bat at that height, nobody's catching it. Nobody's catching it. And You can decide. I mean, even if you run into an out on that in that case, nobody's going to fault you. Everybody's going to say, "Hey, well, we all thought that ball was out, so good try."
You want to bet nobody's going to fault you? That's your Fruitas in the broadcast
Yeah,
booth for.
okay. Yeah, he was up
I'm
there.
going. They had a play where there was a runner on second, and there was a ground. There was a really tough grounder to his right to the shortstop, who had to make a really good play to get the runner out. And instead of and so there's probably about a 10% chance of getting the runner, but they get him. And Furuta's going, "No, that's just a stupid base running mistake." Like, yeah, well, at that on those odds, you have a 90% chance of having no outs, or excuse me, one out runner first and third, instead of two outs runner on second. I'd take those odds. I mean, people's, if you had those odds, you'd take them 100 times. You'd take them 99 times out of 100. Furuta's just going, "Nope, dumb, dumb,
Yeah,
dumb."
well, I don't want to harp too much on this one situation, and we got to move on as quickly
Right.
as possible. But
Okay,
there
go.
were some mistakes. Another one was Tetsuya Kokubo was at third base, and it was a ground ball, and it looked like it was going to go back to the pitcher. But and I know you had other guys coming up, and he didn't score, and he ends up not scoring in that inning. And it's just, it was another instance. And then I thought there were situations where Takeru Imamura was out there left in the inning where he was facing guys, and they could have just gone to get him and brought a fresh arm in for it, and they didn't, and he ends up giving up hits, and I don't know, I wasn't happy
He
with
didn't.
what was going on out there for the Carp.
Yeah, Imamura, this is the fifth straight game for Imamura, and he'd looked pretty good up to that point. But the fir he walked the first batter he faced on four pitches. And it's almost, I think his arm was okay. I think he finished strong. The sacrifice fly was a really, really borderline sacrifice
Well,
fly.
that was another play where, again, I think the concentration low. I think Suzuki should have taken that because we all know he's got the better arm. But I think Motta just said, well, from any center fielder, I think it was pride that just stepped in his way and said any center fielder can throw a guy out at the plate from this distance. It's not that far. Let me
And he
take
could.
it.
And he made. And okay, and if his throw is online, he's out.
Well, I don't even think that it was that much online because it got there in time to get him out. I think your catcher Ishihara was standing a little bit too, because of the collision rule, he was standing a little bit too far behind the foul line. If he's standing a little bit closer, they get him. But he was so scared and worried about the collision rule, perhaps, that he was standing too far
Oh.
back and he couldn't reach him.
Oh, so he told you that he was scared and
I'm
afraid of the collision
assuming, I
rule.
mean, it.
Oh, okay. Oh,
Remember,
let's say
they had
that
a game that
then.
was decided. They were one of the teams that had a game that was overturned. I mean, it was in their favor, but
They
they had
won
a
it.
game right in front of their eyes.
Anyway, yeah, okay. It was a chance to score. It was a fairly shallow. I called it medium
I
deep. I
don't even
think
think it was
that's
medium
fair.
deep. It was shallow. That should be an out.
It should be an out. I was surprised how. Actually, I was thinking, man, Kensuke Tanaka's running hard. I mean, he was not running very
No,
efficiently
he
though. I mean,
wasn't.
there
Yeah,
was
he
a
was
lot of
moving.
there was a lot of there was a lot of he was running too hard. It was like me trying to sprint, trying to act like a sprinter. It was all arms and legs flying, and in his body, he was making kind of a. He was running so hard, he was making kind of ice skating down the third
Yeah, he didn't
baseline
look
and
good. I didn't
going
think he
from
was
side to
actually
side.
on the TV monitor. If you were looking at one, he didn't look like he was moving that fast, but he had to be. He
No.
had to have been. So, I mean, the hero of this game for me was Luis Mendoza, throwing the five and
Yep.
two thirds innings with five strikeouts and one hit, a walk allowed, and he got up. He came in getting out of that one out bases loaded jam in the second inning, and again, Anthony Bass pitches, and he was really good. He ended up getting the win. And Keisuke Tanimoto, as you talked about, he did great work to get out of jam in the end. And I'm sorry, in the when would that have been? The ninth inning?
No.
What inning is this? Is
Because
six,
Bass pitched the
eight,
ninth to get the
nine,
win in
eighth,
the
yeah,
eighth.
eighth inning. So they look good, and they, all of a sudden they won three in a row. And I shouldn't say all of a sudden.
Okay, well, I'll tell you a little bit about that game. I talked to Carp pitching coach Tatsumi Une, who's a real friendly and very open. Well, like most coaches, he pretty much tells it as it is. And he said we couldn't believe they went to their bullpen so quickly.
Huh. He actually said that, huh?
We were surprised. He said we were surprised they went to the bullpen that early, and this was a game that looked like it was the fighters, planning to get to Shohei Ohtani in game se six or seven, because the Carp were starting Chris Johnson on short rest, and the fighters were going with Takayuki Kato, a rookie who didn't make it, or who only made it out of the first inning in his last climax star series start and allowed 4 runs. Okay, so they're going to give him a second chance against Chris Johnson, and he just barely, he somehow avoids giving up a big first inning. He somehow avoids giving up a big second inning.
But he gets
And
yanked
then,
after one out in that second
but
inning,
he
right?
gets yanked. And then Mendoza comes out and basically cancels out Johnson. And just amazing. And I think you, as much as I'm not a big fan of a lot of things Hideki Kuriyama does, but him and with him and the bullpen work and not being afraid to go to
Right.
people and having a season and having a team again here, this is, we don't know what, who is available, who's hurt, who's not, but they had a situation where everybody was available for every different role. Everybody who was prepared. It was almost, I mean, with the exception of the, I guess the psychological obsession with sacrifice bunting. You might have thought it was Joe Madden managing out there.
Yeah, I mean they weren't afraid and they did go to the bullpen and I did a translation of a story in during the week when Masato Yoshi, the pitching coach of the Fighters, said, "Hey, our team is a bullpen team. That's the heart of our team." And obviously they weren't afraid to go to it and it came through. So, I mean, you can't argue.
No, you can't
The
really. I
Carps
mean,
certainly can't
they
argue.
had no. And the other thing that Une said, I said, you guys are kind of stretched. This is going to be a tough road for you, with your bullpen with Jax, Imamura and Jackson. He says, yeah, it's not going to be easy, but Jackson's fine. He pitched well because he pitched so well in game five. He was now after he lost game
Yeah.
four, he came out in game five and he looked like J, like capital
Yeah,
J
he had to
Jackson.
bounce back out and it was nice.
He was like, the guy we know and love, knocking him dead with a smile on his face. He was 1, 2, 3, bam, see you later. And then Une said, so he was so good in game four, and he had a day off yesterday, too.
Blah blah blah.
Okay.
All right, so game six on Saturday, and this was the clincher, and the Fighters win 10-4. Big eighth inning, 6 runs in the eighth, and Kuriyama made a move early. Yeah, it was. I mean, he was good. He was good in this game. He had a chance to score some runs, and he lifted his starter, Hirotoshi Zenshi Matsui, and took him out and. For a pinch hitter who didn't come through, Kenji Yano didn't come through. He struck out, but Haruki Nishikawa, coming off of his grand slam, he triples with 2 outs and drives in. I'm sorry, he tripled to lead off the game and then ended up scoring. And
He
then he
did
triples
indeed.
in this inning and drives home 2 more runs with 2 outs. And yeah, a lot of stuff went on. It was a close game for a while. And I was tweeting again with someone else who said, and I finally said, "Oh, looks like Ogata is actually managing like he's in the Japan series now instead of like he's, just in another game." And the guy, I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was. He says, "Well, you can't look too desperate early on in the series." And I'm like, there is no not desperate situation. I don't care if you're up 3 games to none. You don't want to momentum to change. It could change and not come back. I mean, look at Haruki Nishikawa was just a guy up there with a bat until he hit that grand slam. Now, it seemed like in this game six, they didn't even want to pitch to him. He really felt comfortable swinging against their fastballs. He looked like a different guy because momentum. I mean, you got that one good swing. So, I think you start managing. He should have been managing like this in game three to one. He might have won game three. It might have been a different story, but he waited too long, and they got outplayed. I said it earlier. The fighters were missing guys, and they still beat him. So imagine if they had all their guys and everybody was at top form, that it just wouldn't have even been close. So the grand slam happens. Laird hits a grand slam in this eighth inning. They get these walks. But I want to talk about the Jay Jackson, Sho Nakata battle in the eighth inning when the bases are loaded and the score is still tied, and Jay had gotten the first two guys out, and then
Yeah,
yeah,
easily.
easily, very easily, and then
And
all of a sudden,
then
he couldn't command well enough. He had no more out pitches. So everything he was throwing was they were making contact with.
and they were, after the first single. The first single was like Nishikawa was like a normal at bat, he got a, he was getting decent pitches to hit and he made good contact. But the next two guys, Nakashima and Oka, they were basically standing there gonna take little tiny swing, look for the ball floating up in the zone, and they were gonna just like bunt it through the middle of the infield,
Back through the
which is,
box.
and they were taking these little half swings. And they just rolled him right through the infield. They were identical. They were like, Jackson could have been put up there on a tee and got the same
And
results.
it seemed to me, it just appeared to me then that he knew that he really didn't have the stuff that he wanted out there on the mound, and you could see it in the at bat against Nakata, because he was shy about throwing his fastball in the zone. Simple as that.
Yeah.
He was going to try to get Nakata to chase sliders, which he wasn't commanding, and he was going to brush the zone with a fastball here and there, but basically he wanted to get him out with sliders, and he couldn't command anything and
Couldn't control anything
walk.
at that. Well, that was the control
Yeah.
of that at that point too,
Walks
so.
in the go-ahead run, and then up comes, in my opinion, the guy who was the MVP of the series, Anthony Bass. He
Agreed.
won three games. Anybody else who wins three games who's not a starter, or yeah, particularly if he's a starter and throws like 23 innings or something, they just hand it to him and say, "Here, the series isn't over, but we're giving you this anyway. You won three games." And
Indeed.
he gets a hit off of Jackson, and of course, Ogata again. Not managing like this is the last game of the season if they lose, leaves Jay Jackson in the game. And I know they had pitched a bunch of guys and that they didn't have, they had already used Hagens, they'd already used Imamura, they had already used most of the guys they wanted to go to probably in that situation. But you know what? What you got out there wasn't working. Just even if it's a fresh arm.
I had to think that at that point, after the set, at some point, the combination of all the inflammation in the arm and the tiredness in the legs, it kind of collapsed. And this is not Jay Jackson's.
Definitely
I
not, yeah.
cannot blame Jay Jackson for this. This is all got to be on Koichi Ogata and my buddy Mr. Une for thinking that. And I say the same thing for Imamura. The same thing for Imamura. But Imamura doesn't throw, does not exert himself like Jackson does in his games. He uses a lot of energy, and he's a big guy, and they're gonna think he can take it. But game after game after game, Jay Jackson will say, "Yeah, if they ask me, I'm gonna do it."
Yeah.
But there's also a tone in his voice saying, "They gotta give me a break sometime," but they will.
Right.
He trusts them, they
He's
trust
coming.
him,
Yeah.
and yeah, and it didn't happen. They didn't. They
And
overworked them.
so we saw he hangs a slider to to Laird, and Laird just blasts it out of the park, and that's it. That's the series. And again, I just think well, we'll get to it in a little while. I obviously, when the pitcher a pitcher who probably hadn't had a bat and a bat all season, now, I don't know, I didn't check.
He had
He
batted three
batted three
times,
times.
struck out
Okay,
twice.
all right. So a guy who,
And he had a triple in the majors, baby.
and he gets a hit, and I mean, it wasn't just a hit. I mean, off the bat, you knew this was going to be a hit, and he hit it so
Yeah, that
hard
was a
that, I
little.
mean, even with the outfielders playing in a little bit, that thing was out there. It was out there in a hurry. So you go get a guy like that. You don't leave him out there to spin a slider and hang it up there so somebody can see how far they can
And here's the
hit
thing.
it.
It's a two-run game. I know it's the eighth inning,
Two
but
run
it's a
game.
two-run
It's a
game.
walk and a home
And this
run
is a
away.
team, and this is a team that came back and came back and
The
came
comeback
back.
Harpies.
I mean, I know this is a team that made those three games in Sapporo by the Fighters look like amateur hour. These guys were the comeback. Nobody could come back like the Carp. And two-run game. And what were they in shock? Were they in disbelief? Yeah, what was Hiroki Kokubo down there figuring out their bullpen situation?
Hashtag
I mean, oh, we wanted a reliever, but we wanted to bring him in with the bases loaded, and by the time we couldn't do that. Well, why was that? Well, because we
Yeah,
could.
all right.
Next question. So anyway, they had a chance to keep it a two-run game, and they kind of just ignored
Yeah,
it.
it was over. So, congratulations to the Fighters. They had a great season. I shouldn't have doubted them. Everything I touched in terms of predictions just about dealing with the Pacific League this year turned to mud. I was wrong
Now,
at every turn.
what were you wrong? What were you wrong about the Fighters in the series?
I picked the Carp to win in six, and
Well, that's not meaningful because you have to pick somebody. But I mean, what did you see in the Fighters that you didn't see in the series? Or
I didn't think their starters were overwhelming, and I thought the Carp would be able to score, and they just weren't able to. They just weren't able to put runs on the board. And I figured the Carp were going to be able to pitch and stay with them in that respect, but I thought they'd be able to outscore them. Again, not hunting fastballs all the time, but getting their pitches, doing the homework, studying. I thought they'd get better during the season, this series, and they just didn't. They got worse.
I think, had these been regular season games, the Carp would have won. If these games weren't for all the marbles, because if the Carp played them, if the Fighters had, if this wasn't for everything, the Fighters wouldn't have gone into this is these are ultimately important game mode and done things differently. They wouldn't have brought Mendoza in the second inning. They wouldn't have, they made some changes and sh changes to their normal pattern. They would have left Young Daikon or Yo Daikon or Yo
Yes, we
Mama.
can.
They would have left that. They would have left him out there in center for five games before they pulled him out,
Right.
instead of realizing he wasn't doing anything. Let's take him out after two. So the Fighters played the games like they were, like. Not like they every game was the end of the world, but like this series is really important, and the Carp managed them like we keep doing what we did, and they did what they did. They were so proud in the climax series that we played the way we played all season. We're not going to change. We wiped out the Bay Stars the way we had all year, and that was the plan. We're not going to change a thing, and I think that was pride or over a little. Self-indulgence, perhaps, or something. That was a misconception on their part. And I think that's really what happened in this series. They didn't have a plan for what happens when the regular season plan doesn't work because their starting pitchers, if this was a question of their starting pitchers against the Fighters' starting pitchers, the Carp win hands down.
Yeah, and that's,
The Carp starting pitchers were much
yeah,
better.
they were supposed to be, yeah.
But the bullpens were shockingly different. The defense, both teams made some bad plays. Both teams made the defense was a little bit was fairly even, but yeah, I think some of the in-game decisions. I mean, Kuriyama's been here a long time, and other than the bunting, I'm
No,
sorry,
other than
but I'm sorry.
his vice.
Other than that. Yeah, exactly. His addiction, and we have to look at these things as diseases to be
That's
treated.
right. I got it,
So,
man. We can
other
have
than
an
that,
intervention. We can do it.
I'm gonna try for that in Arizona in at the end of January,
Okay.
but anyway, the point is, yeah, he managed. He made moves, to. get himself out of, you know, to give himself options. He gave himself more options than he would need to during the regular season when he had to play 143
Right.
games.
So, wrapping it up for me, I think Ogata, he took responsibility for the loss. He said the players did everything they could,
They did.
that it was his lack of ability as a manager that cost them the series. And the thing to remember as you watch Kuriyama is because I mean he's like I am. I can tell he's like I am. He hates losing. You look at his face after games when they were doing the interviews after each game. He didn't look jubilant or so bubbly that he was overcome with joy. He was very tame, you know what I mean? He had this look like,
He was
you know, I
relieved.
didn't lose. And that's the way I was. I mean, like I wasn't so much happy when I won, but if I lost a game, man, I couldn't sleep. I was grinding my teeth. I would go out and work harder. I'd reflect on everything that went wrong, and it just tore me apart. But if I won, it was like, okay, what's next? You know, I wasn't like happy, and I could tell he's a really fierce competitor, and he does not like losing, and I could tell that, and that really came through. And as far as Ogata, you know, I don't think he helped the Carp. He didn't give his players a chance to perform better. I thought they didn't swing at a lot of pitches that they probably could have hit, and they tried to kill pitches that were right there, and they just got themselves into trouble. So I mean, they didn't perform, but he didn't help them. He didn't help them.
Well, I wanna make a point, and I have really become a big fan of Ogata's this past year, and he reminds me in some respects, and not in the worst way, but he reminds me in some ways of Tatsunori Hara as a player, as a manager, in that he had certain things. He had a certain way of doing things, of using players, and a positivity, and you know, the people skills. And I think that's Ogata brings, and he puts a really good team on the field, and he gets players to be, you know, he makes a good working environment where the players, you know, it makes it easy for players to succeed. And that's why the Carp are there, is because of that, because you know he let them, you know he's you know he sent a message: we're going to work, and we're going to get better, and we're going to stay focused, and we're going to win, and I trust you guys to do your job, and this is what we're going to do. But in Hara's case, and I think in Ogata's case, especially when Hara was young, when he was in managing his first 3 4 seasons, he was an abysmal tactical manager. And I think as his career went on, he got better and better at big games. And I think Ogata, you know, the way he learned from his experience managing in his first season, and I think he's going to be, I think he the Carp are going to continue to be a force. I expect Ogata to be even better next year. I'm not going to be surprised at all if the Carp blow away the Central League again. I mean, I haven't thought about it too much,
Yeah, I
but
mean,
wouldn't surprise me. And it wouldn't surprise me to see them, you know, be the first Central League team to beat a team that isn't the Fighters since 2002.
Right. I like what he did. Obviously, he learned a lot. He's going to learn a lot from this experience here. I'm just thinking he was a little bit clumsy in this series. He didn't get the best out of the players, and I think had he been able to help them a little bit, they would have won at least one more game. And then after that, it's a game seven. You never know what'll happen. But just like you said, I agree. He's going to get better, and I'll look forward to that when it comes. As for the MVP, like I said, the Japanese press loves sexy numbers. I don't think, and I love Brandon Laird, and I really like the fact that he was selected because he did come up with some big hits. He obviously won a game with the home run. He hits this grand slam, and I think the press just melted. And I'm thinking, no, Anthony Bass he's the guy. He even got an RBI hit and
Yeah,
three
as soon
wins.
as he got the hit,
I
I
thought this is
thought
it. This is locked it up.
MVP.
And no, they go for sexy numbers for home runs and RBIs. And Brandon had seven RBIs in the series. Four of them came with one swing. I mean, it's not. Yes.
To be fair, I thought, of course, they gave out the, you know, the second banana awards to Bass and Nishikawa and Nakata. And of course, the losing team gets one, and Brad Elder, who hit three home runs in the series and tied a record with three homers in three straight games. You know, those people are all deserving. I thought, to be honest, I thought Nishikawa Laird really wasn't the guy. I thought Nishikawa or Bass would be the MVP, MVP. But Nishikawa is interesting because he's not, you know, I looked at the carp. I didn't expect anything, or the fighters. I didn't expect anything out of Nakata. I expected a lot of Ohtani. He pretty much owned game three. He did lose a tough duel to Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson had a great series. I saw him after the game, congratulated him. He seemed really content with the way thing, you know, the way he did. And it was, but I, you know, Nakata, what is Nakata doing there? You know, it's like, you
He
know,
hit two home runs.
pick. Oh. I mean, I thought Nakashima had a better, I thought not Takuya Nakashima had a better series than he did. But yeah. Anyway, so
I take that back.
Bass,
Yeah, he only
sure.
hit one home run. I mean, yeah, you hit a home run and you're a slugger, and he had the big two RBI double.
And
He
he had the bases
and the
loaded
bases
walk.
loaded
He
walk
drove in the winning
drove it in.
run.
Yeah.
Right. So no, so he, yeah, he wasn't as he was random. Nishikawa had a Nishikawa kind of, his career has been like this. He has games where he doesn't know, well, let's put it this way, he doesn't have a plan. And sometimes he gets hot, as he did in game four and games five and six. But he had a, you know, he had a decent series in left field, and you know, not a bad for him, good
Yeah.
series. But he also batted 231, so it was only the very, you know, his last seven plate appearances where he made a
Yeah, well,
difference.
I mean, I call the press
Bass.
clueless. I'm worried. I'm really worried about what they're going to do with the MVP award for the leagues. But anyway, we'll get to that when we see
Oh.
them. Hiroki Kuroda goes out with of Japanese baseball and says goodbye to baseball as a pitcher with a no
Yep.
decision and an injury. And so I thought that was kind of bad. I would have liked to have seen him get that title, but it's too bad.
Well, there were people, yeah, because game seven was going to be Ohtani and Kuroda. I mean, it's like that's mouthwatering,
Oh
but
well,
I'm happy to
yeah.
be home. Okay, I'm gonna make a change up, throw a change up here and transition to our
Is it a
notes.
two-seamer? A two-seam changeup?
That's a change up. It's a change up, man.
So it's a seamless
It's a
changeup.
circle change. It's a circle
Okay.
change. Which is appropriate for me because I intend to, you know, I'm circular. Okay, so first
Circuitous,
of
more
all,
like it.
okay, circuitous. I'm deliberate. Okay. You got any other words for me?
Get to it.
Okay, that I was expecting those. Okay. Anyway, so we've got two front office moves, exactly one NPB front office news and a rare Korea Baseball Organization note. The Korea Baseball Organization note is that the SK Wyverns, which are kind of one of the, I can't pretend to have much knowledge about KBO. My friends try to give it to me, and I kind of, you know, I say thanks,
You
but
have
I don't
it's
take it
another
in. I don't
meaning of
absorb
drop of
it.
knowledge, right?
Yeah, indeed. Drop.
Falls right
Yeah,
on the
the
floor.
drop.
Okay.
Exactly. Where's the mop? Okay. So the SK Wyverns have hired former Nippon Ham Fighters manager and Kansas City Royals manager and Houston Astros bench coach Trey Hillman to manage their team on a 2-year contract, making him the first manager to manage in NPB, KBO, and MLB.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah, that's
Wow,
awesome. Yeah,
indeed. What a
hopefully.
shock.
Well, it's,
And
yeah. I don't
the
know anything
other
about KBO either, but maybe we'll see Trey in Japan somewhere somehow.
news, which was interesting this past week, was that as you know, we've been sort of monitoring the disarray of the Oryx Buffaloes front office for several years. And they basically said the management, for some reason, decided suddenly enough is enough. And the two executives, Mr. Setoyama and Mr. Kato, who have basically been feuding over who should hire who and who should work where and what the purpose of the team was, and I'm not talking to your guys, don't talk to my guys. Mr. Kato has been apparently dismissed. Mr. Setoyama must have had some deal that did not permit him from being dismissed, but he has been
Yeah.
reassigned within the organization. So he will no longer oversee, the guy who knows basically nothing about baseball except how to profit from it, will be assigned a non-baseball position.
Good. Get Tom
And
and
at
Jerry out
this,
of there with their crazy, meaningless fights.
yeah, they, these two, I mean, I actually have some respect for Mr. Kanto, and he was in a very difficult situation, but you know, it was like 2 4-year-olds fighting on the
Yeah,
playground.
look, the Buffaloes are my front runners to be the worst team in Japan next year and the year after that until they prove that they can, take some
Well,
talent and develop it on the field and win some games. So yeah.
yeah.
I
So
won't be fooled
now in
again.
bound the and into the organization in a capacity I'm not quite certain about is former Oryx, Oryx Blue Wave, Anaheim Angels, Seattle Mariners pitcher Shigetoshi Hasegawa.
Can't wait to talk to him.
And he speaks good English. I can't wait to get him on the show, and perhaps he'll actually answer the emails and phone calls.
Okay. All right. So obviously we had a great season. Thank you to the Fighters and the Carp for putting on such, I mean, they were riveting games.
Yeah, they were
No matter
indeed.
how they turned
Great
out, they were
games.
riveting.
Great. Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, I couldn't have been proud. I really like both of these teams. I thought the players, you know, the players for both sides gave it their all. You know, more power to them in the year ahead, and a really otsukaresama, because what a great series they try. You know, they really gave it, and good luck next year for both those
All
teams.
right, guys, send your questions. We are going to figure out our off-season program, but I think we're going to have a show next week for sure, and then after that we'll figure things out. Send your questions or comments by email or MP3 to YAKYUJOHN@gmail.com. You can tweet us at #HighHeat at JBW Podcast, and you can look for us on our Facebook page and leave us a message there. And we are on iTunes. Thank you very much. Enjoy your off season.
Thanks for listening, and I'm glad you enjoyed the season.